and welcome to OEG Voices.
OEG Voices.
OEG Voices.
OEG Voices.
A new podcast bringing to you the voices and ideas
of open educators from around the world.
OEG Voices is
produced by Open Education Global,
a member-based
nonprofit organization
supporting the development and use
of open education globally.
Learn more about us
at oeglobal.org.
There's much to take in at a global level.
We hope to bring you closer
to how open education is working
by hearing the stories of practitioners
told in their own voices.
Each episode introduces you
to a global open educator,
and we invite you to later engage in conversation with them
in our OEG Connect community.
Welcome to a new episode of OEG Voices. I'm your host, Marcela Morales, and I'm joined by my colleagues, Paul Stacey, Executive Director of OEG, and Una Daly, Director of CCC OER. Hello, Paul and Una. How are you today?
Very good. It's good to be here.
Another beautiful sunny day here in California.
Wonderful. Thank you for joining us. As applications for this year's Open Education Awards for Excellence are currently being reviewed, we continue to bring you the voices and stories of past winners. Today, we are very pleased to be talking with Kim Ernstmeyer from Chippewa Valley Technical College, who is representing the 2020 Open Education Award in the Open Textbook category for Open RN Nursing Pharmacology Textbook. Welcome, Kim. We're very excited to have this conversation with you today.
Thank you, Marcela, and thank you for asking me to join you today.
Please tell us a bit about yourself and where in the world you're joining us from.
I'm joining today from Eau Claire, Wisconsin. I've been a nurse educator at Chippewa Valley Technical College for over 15 years, and I'm currently the project director of the OpenRN grant project.
Excellent.
And Kim, when you think about that OpenRN work, how do you describe it to friends or family, people not with this kind of work? How do you share it with them?
Sure. I can kind of give you the backstory behind the whole project. So OpenRN stands for Open Resources for Nurses. And we applied for a Department of Education grant called the Open Textbook Pilot Process. Back in March of 19, we received funding in the second round of funding for $2.5 million to create 5 open educational resource textbooks and 25 virtual simulations. So we have 4 years. Always creating new things and sharing it with the community as they're published.
Kim and I have known each other for several years, and I've had the pleasure, of course, of watching all of this evolve and the great work that she and her team are doing. And I thought OpenRN stood for Open Registered Nurse. My mother. It might be because my mother was a registered nurse. So,
yeah.
So thank you for the clarification. Open resource for nurses. I like that. I think that's perfect, actually. But it is
it's meant to be a play on words and then easy to remember, you know, RN. So,
well, you know, tell us a little bit about the work that you've been doing, like your team. I know. Of course, you received this award for the first textbook, but I know that you've done more than that, and it's been a really collaborative effort. So, love if you could talk a little bit about that and what's the value for other nurse educators who are participating and will be in the future using these resources.
Sure. Well, let me go back to the very beginning. I mentioned when we received the grant in 2019, and our really started with the work of our lead librarian for the project, Vince Musil, who was also the director of our library services. And he just identified, you know, he's already involved in the OER community in Wisconsin, and he identified that nursing textbooks were high-cost textbooks with high enrollments. And we discovered at CVTC that students paid an average of about $1,500 for their textbooks for a 2-year program. So that's when we identified this was going to definitely help not just students at CVTC, but across the state of Wisconsin, because in Wisconsin, there's 16 technical colleges. We're all separately accredited, standalone colleges, but we all share the same nursing curriculum. So we could easily create these books based on the curriculum for the courses that the textbooks are attached to. So that's where the collaboration began, was with the other Wisconsin technical colleges. So my college, CBTC, leads the project. We have a total of four lead colleges that committed to developing these textbooks. Their names are Gateway, Madison, and Northeast Technical College. So we started with the nursing pharmacology book. We started with members from each of those lead colleges and just started brainstorming, how are we going to do this? None of us had textbook writing experience. We relied on Vince with his experience in OER and Creative Commons licensing, and just plotted out the workflow. And so we created that first textbook. It took us about a year to develop the chapters collaboratively. And then we piloted it across several of the colleges in their spring of 2020 courses. And then we also put it through a national review process for the first time. So for that first textbook, we had about 50 national reviewers. And the beauty, as you all know, of OER is that faculty can revise and remix this content. And although, you know, nursing programs might have different courses, we all cover the same content, basically, in the pre-licensure program for nursing students to be able to pass their board exams. So it's something that has really been astonishing to see, as you mentioned, Una, the growth that has already occurred, the amount of interest that we've received both nationally and internationally. We joined CCC OER, I think, in the summer of 19, if I remember correctly.
So, yeah.
So, a lot of collaboration, you know, a lot of support we received from your group and ideas and seeing what other projects did. We also relied on Rebus community for some, you know, how to write an OER textbook, information like that. BC Campus had already published clinical procedures for safer care, so we could pull a lot of their content as we built our books. So it's real, like you mentioned, it's truly been a collaborative effort, and it truly takes a community, national community, really, to create high quality OER. The amount of feedback that national reviewers continue to give us is just amazing. I'll talk more later about our next two textbooks, but with each textbook, we have more and more national reviewers participating. So we anticipate we'll have well over 300 reviewers by the time we're done. So
wow, that's amazing. I was going to ask you about what was your feeling about working collaboratively and the added value of working in collaboration, but you have stated very clearly how beautiful it is to create something with a group and getting the feedback from everybody. So that's amazing. It's really, really amazing the work that you guys are doing. I think it's a great example of how collaboration can really bring things to a higher level. And I wanted to ask you, Kim, and wonder why did you decide to start with a pharmacology as a key topic? And is that a topic that's relevant, I suppose, for the community? And which are the next topics that you would like to focus on?
Sure. We selected nursing pharmacology because we were already aware of a lot of information out in the public domain related to medications, patient education about medications, things like that. So we thought it would be one of the easier books to start with, start creating based on the amount of material that we knew were out there. We just published our next two books this summer, Nursing Skills. It was the second one. And that, as I mentioned, we based a lot of that content. We grew from the clinical procedures from Safer Care that BC Campus had previously published. And we also relied heavily on OpenStax, Anatomy and Physiology. We pulled a lot of information as we went through each chapter and kind of reviewed content that students should know coming into the course, and then built from there. So that was the second book. And the third book is Nursing Fundamentals that we just published July 1st, the ebook edition, and it's going to the print publisher now and should be out in print format later this summer or early this fall. So yeah, thank you. It's been amazing. And I have to share, I looked today, and as I was preparing for this, I looked out at our Google Analytics for the ebooks. And As of today, we have over 180,000 users of those three books with over 750,000 page views. Approximately 50% are from the United States, and the other top 10 users are the Philippines, India, Canada, Australia, the United Kingdom, Nigeria, Kenya, Malaysia, and Pakistan. So,
wow, that's amazing.
Just amazing. And I truly want to thank OE Global for the award for the pharmacology book, because I think that just truly helped make other faculty around the world aware of this resource, and hopefully they're remixing it and using it for their courses too. It sure looks like it. So they're at least looking at it.
It definitely looks like it. Congratulations on that.
The other really cool thing about the books are the interactive activities. And yes. Curious to hear more about those. I know you've uploaded a whole bunch of simulations and YouTube channel, but perhaps you can just kind of share with us the thinking behind the creation of those, and then what's been the result of that? How has the experience of users engaged with that worked out?
Well, initially we decided to use Pressbooks as our publishing platform for the textbooks. And while we were looking into that, we discovered that H5P plays very well with Pressbooks. So we learned more about H5P, and we use that to create several different types of learning activities in the books, things like flashcards to help students learn vocabulary, quiz questions, drag and drop activities. But the thing that's really exciting about H5P for our project are the branching scenarios. And we also learned this based on work that was done, I think, by BC Campus. Margaret Vercule, I think, was the leader of one of the first branching simulations that we saw 2 years ago. And so based on her work, what we did was we had a lot of media that was already created as part of another grant project that we had finished before the OpenRN project. So we had hundreds of simulation-related videos, patients, people, actors that were paid to, portray patients and family members, nurses, paramedics, physicians, you name it. And so we were able to pull those videos into the OpenRN YouTube channel and then build these branching scenarios using those videos. So what the branching scenarios do is they'll give a student an opportunity, introduce them to a patient, hear kind of some of the symptoms or things that the patient is experiencing. They can hear handoff reports from another nurse. And then there are specific decision points within the virtual simulation that they have to apply the material from that chapter in order to correctly answer. They receive rationale for why the answers are correct or incorrect, and then they go on to the next step. So that's been really exciting. So far, we've created, I think we're up to 14 now of the virtual simulations based on those branching scenarios. And I also looked at the data from that as I was getting ready for today's podcast. And we're up to 380 subscribers on that OpenRN YouTube channel with over 232,000 views and 1,200 hours of watch time. So we're kind of indirectly measuring those H5P activities by seeing how many videos are truly being watched. So again, it's just been amazing the amount of interest. We did some surveys with students and faculty, and we've got great feedback for the books and the virtual simulations, but they're about 10 to 15 minutes long. Students feel it's just the right amount of time, just the right amount of questions to help them apply their knowledge and get formative feedback quickly.
It's realistic too, is the other thing that I watched a couple of them myself. It's like, you do, it's sort of like it's simulating real practice in the actual setting. And so, it's been super helpful over the COVID period as well.
Yeah, we kind of shifted gears about, March or April of 2020, as we were just finishing up the pharmacology book and getting the next two books started. Faculty were completely derailed as they were trying to create online learning activities, as they did remote learning. They were trying to Institute activities for clinical, and we thought, let's focus on these virtual simulations. So they're online, anyone can use them, and then hopefully help these students feel like they're caring for a patient, even though it's a virtual simulation. And so that really was our goal, was to give them the opportunity to develop their clinical judgment, just like they would do in patient care in those scenarios. So far that's actually, we originally were thinking of using virtual reality, which we have the equipment here. We have the headsets, the special laptops where you actually go in and you're totally immersed in a virtual environment. And we're creating those as well. But the feedback we've received for these online virtual simulations are really making us focus on that, because it's so available and there's no barriers. A student doesn't need any special equipment. They can just use their laptop or even their iPhone, their smartphones, and complete these activities. And that's what, the project is all about, is OAR. So we're going to continue to work on those type of simulations.
Yeah, that is really exciting to hear about. And, I've had the opportunity to visit a medical school probably about 5 years ago where they were using virtual reality for the simulation. But you're absolutely right. It was a special lab environment for the students. And so having these really accessible, interactive experiences that students are now saying are a great option is really wonderful. One thing I wanted to ask a little bit about is because, your topic is a little bit different than just general academic topics at the colleges, and it involves licensure. And I think, you've done a really amazing job in getting national reviewers and I assume from different nursing state boards and so forth. And do you want to talk a little bit about that? Because that's a relatively new area for OER, and there's sometimes some pushback from those national boards. They feel, oh, this isn't going to be as good as the stuff we've used all along that's been published by a publisher. And so, you can share a little about that.
I'm glad you asked that, Una, because that is a common question we receive. And we've talked informally with some of the accreditors. We use ASIN as the accreditor for the Wisconsin Technical College schools. But they really feel that, this is a resource, just like any other textbook, and faculty have the options to choose their resources. So it's really up to the faculty to determine if the resource meets their needs and is aligned with their curriculum. And something that we learned, I think it was from Rebus, one of the resources provided by Rebus Community, is we encourage faculty, don't be harder on OER than you are on your regular textbooks, your regular commercial textbooks. Because it's easy to do that, especially with the amount of national reviewers that we have, participating. We encourage everybody, look at this, just like a commercial textbook doesn't exactly fit your curriculum, this OER may not in its raw form, but you can take it and make it fit exactly to your courses. So that's been really exciting. And we'll continue to monitor the technical colleges, especially as part of our accreditation. We monitor NCLEX pass rates. So we'll be able to see over the next few years if there is any kind of change. We'll be getting our first set of data regarding course outcome information actually in the next few weeks. So I'm excited to see the outcomes in terms of is it affecting student completion of the course versus withdrawing? Is it affecting their success in passing the courses? Because, truly that's our motivation. That's the faculty participating in this project. We're really doing this for the students, so that they do have the opportunity to have their course materials on day one. They all have, equal opportunities for success by having those resources. Hopefully these learning activities help them apply the knowledge like they need to in patient care so they can provide safe patient care, ultimately pass their NCLEX, and ultimately, provide patient care. So that's truly our goal.
That's exciting. And it's important work to be able to see that students are doing at least as well, if not better. And particularly, disaggregating the data, if you can, around student groups, students who might be marginalized for some reason in terms of affordability or access, and seeing if it has a positive effect there.
So
exactly.
And one thing we've really been, you know, another question people ask, kind of similar to what you asked, Una, was are these textbooks evidence-based? And we have dedicated thousands of hours, I would say, into making sure that everything is footnoted, you know, within press books. So, you know, definitions and concepts, and, you know, we're including recent research and, you know, evidence from peer review articles, journal articles, things like that. And so I would actually challenge faculty to look at their current commercial textbook and look at our OER. And I think they would be able to find the primary source of material discussed in the chapters more easily within our textbooks because of the amount of footnotes that we include. We purposely put in hyperlinks so students can start learning that digital literacy and understanding what's a credible resource, what's not a credible resource, and how do I get there? And I think we've all learned that too over the past few years with the COVID pandemic is, you know, what are those valid resources that students will continue to use after they graduate to learn, you know, and stay current with those evidence-based practices.
That's really impressive. And also, you know, teaching them those digital skills that they're going to use career long.
Exactly. Exactly.
This is all really exciting stuff, Kim. And I wonder if you've got, what's the sort of future hold? What's the roadmap going forward from here? What's exciting you about this?
Well, I'm really looking forward to the data, like I mentioned, seeing what the student outcomes turn out to be. And like you said, when I'm keeping my fingers crossed, the initial data showed it was at least, student outcomes were at least the same in courses using OER as those without, but that was during the pandemic. You know, things are some compounding variables going on there. That's my most important thing I'm looking forward to. But these next two books, getting these launched, the skills and the fundamentals books, and just seeing, getting survey feedback on those over the next couple semesters. And then our final two textbooks are on nursing management and professional concepts and mental health and community concepts. So we have those work groups started already. The faculty are busy developing those chapters as we speak, and we hope to launch those in 2022. Spring of 2022 and summer of 2022. So,
wow, I'm excited to hear. Yeah, the mental health one sounds amazing.
You know, I think with COVID, it's just mental health has become such an even more important issue. So we're really looking forward to providing those resources for students.
Absolutely. You have mentioned COVID a couple of times, and being that you're in the medical field, I can only imagine what the year and a half, 2 years have been for you guys. But I wonder, what is the most impactful lesson that you have gotten from this experience?
That's a really good question. And I, you know, the most important lesson we learned was the importance of having these resources available to students offline. So many students struggled with internet access, you know, reliable internet access when they're working from home, especially in our rural communities here in Wisconsin. So especially after the pharmacology book, in the next two books, we purposely included hyperlinks, you know, included the URLs so that when students, if they wanted to download the PDF and read it offline, they could do that and then go back and view those resources or go back and complete the H5P activities. While we were working on the nursing pharmacology book, we also discovered in the literature that as many as 60% of students prefer a hard copy version of their textbooks. And I know I'm the same. I like to turn the pages and highlight and things like that. And students feel the same way. So we had developed a relationship with Xanadu, a publishing company who publishes some of the OpenStax materials. And so they are working in creating our edited PDFs, basically, and putting it into soft cover form. So that COVID just reinforced the importance of having that soft cover version available and affordable for students who desired to use it.
Such amazing work. You keep on talking about new things that you're doing. It's just so amazing. Is there anything else that you would like to add?
Well, I definitely want to say thank you for the OE Award for Excellence. It It validated, you know, after a long, hard year of figuring out how to do this and getting the review done and our survey, it validated the work that we had done and I believe helped to share it to many people. So thank you. We appreciate that greatly. And it takes a community. We've talked a lot about collaboration and truly the faculty participating on this project, that's the number one thing. They say as part of these work groups too, it's just so nice to collaborate, you know, not just within your college, but across colleges, hear what other, you know, faculty are doing that work well for students, student learning. We're collaborating with students too, you know, in our second textbook and third textbook, we have students creating images, reviewing content for clarity, being the models for some of the images. It's just, we have students from Minnesota and Oregon now that are helping to review the textbooks. So that's been really exciting too, to get them involved.
I'm excited to hear that. Yeah, we need to, share that in some ways, but we'll talk about that. And I wanted to say thank you to you, Kim. I mean, you have always been willing to share your project at all of our quarterly meetings, and We had a special webinar last fall when the new open textbook pilot project grant period, which was once again like 30 days, opened up, and you came right in and you told everybody what you guys had done and you shared the narrative of your grant. And so many people were inspired by that, Kim. So I want to say thank you. You've been so generous.
Thank you. And, you know, I was thrilled to see some of the new awardees were people that that attended that webinar and also reached out to me later and asked, you know, picked our brains basically for what worked and our workflow. So it's really wonderful to see other people, you know, building off what we're doing, just like we built off what other people had already done. So it truly, I can't say it enough. It takes a community, and we really appreciate the support from CCC OER and OE Global. It can be daunting. This can be a daunting task. And one of the first things I noticed, you know, at Open Ed in 2019 was just the supportiveness of the support of the OER community. It's been wonderful. So I want to give that back to the community and say, you know, let's build off what we're learning from each other.
So, and you're one of our stars. So thank you.
Yeah. Exactly. No, what a wonderful example of, even if when it's daunting, and what you're saying, that the sharing and the collaborating makes things easier and even better. So no, absolutely. No, thank you, Kim. I really want to thank you for taking the time to chat with us today and bringing us insight into the OpenRN project. You guys are doing amazing work, and we will continue to cheer you on all the way. Please
thank
come back
you.
And tell us more stories and about
I
your
will,
new projects. Please do. And I also want to thank everybody listening to this episode of OEG Voices, the podcast produced from Open Education Global. Our feature open license music is Joyful Meeting by Cronder, found in the Free Music Archive license under a Creative Commons Attribution non-commercial license. You can find this episode at our site, voices.oeglobal.org, and we hope you engage in follow-up conversations with Kim at OEG Connect. If you would like to share your open education work or suggest a future guest, please let us know. The more voices, the better. Again, thank you, Kim, for this wonderful conversation, and thank you, Paul and Una, for joining us.